Okay, so this is part two of the JLB upload of Fakeologist Audio Chat 1398, which I'm calling JLB Chats number 24. This is the 24th time in the last 7 years that I've taken an audio chat from Fakeologist that I thought was worthy of being heard by more people and re-uploaded it for the John LeBond Podbean to try and get it out to more people. And of course, I do this with Ab the Fakeologist's blessing, which makes sense because I'm getting his material out to more people. Now, in this call, you already heard the first hour, I hope. People were talking about Franz Ferdinand's car plate, word policing, are truthers really happy? I'm not convinced that they are. Now, in part two, that's most of them I should talk about. Now, in part two, we're going to talk about people falling for Alex Jones nonsense. Do the celebrities really believe what they're saying and the politicians, what have you? That's just a couple of things that come up in this section. There's a lot more stuff. So I hope you enjoy it. We're going to pick this up from around about 2 hours 30. Of FAC number 1398, which was recorded on April 7, 2024. I'm recording this, what you're hearing right now, 2 days later. But what we're about to go to is the audio chat from 2 days ago that Ab uploaded as a single 6-hour file, which is excessive to say the least. I've taken the time to split it up into 3 sections to get rid of the parts that are less relevant and to balance the audio. So I hope you guys are enjoying this, whether you're in JohnLeBond.com fan, or you're a Fakeologist fan, or you don't like either of us, or either of those online communities, but you've just found this podcast some other way. Whatever the case, I hope you enjoy what you're about to listen to. This is a bunch of people from around the world at Fakeologist.com talking about a heap of topics. I think it's constructive. I think it's productive. I think it's cordial. I think it's good stuff. I hope that you do as well. Let's pick it up from 2 hours 30 of FAC 1398.
How about if we're being prepped for a future where we are led to believe that war never happened? It was all a media hoax.
Well, the reason why I was asking the question initially was because I had a conversation with John LeBond a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about fake dinosaurs, and I don't actually believe in dinosaurs myself, but John LeBond mentioned that that was in the book 1984, and I'm like, oh well, I've read that. Oh, I've read it a couple of times over the years, but it's been about 10-15 years since the last time I read it. So I read it last week, and it's very interesting. Not only is that in there, right, but so is the war hoax, the whole narrative of the war hoax, and the perpetual building of armament and everything to keep people busy, and all the propaganda that goes along with it to keep people in a perpetual state of fear subconsciously. Even the dropping of the rocket bombs, the random dropping of the rocket bombs by their own people on the public. That's all.
Yeah, and the way that that's written in the book is that Julia is like Winston's girlfriend kind of thing. She suggests to Winston, has it ever occurred to you that maybe it's our own government dropping the bombs? And yeah. Winston's like, the thought had never even occurred to him. So the way the book is written is, Winston's the main character. It's another character who suggests something to him. And then the writer, who we're told is George Orwell, is like, it had never even occurred to Winston that it might be his own government doing this. So it's very intentionally written in a way to sort of suggest, you don't even think about these things, do you? Until someone comes and questions them.
Yes. Very interesting.
And then someone comes along and questions these things, and you know what you do? You attack that person and accuse them of being a paid shill. That's how you deal with the question askers, right? Because we know that war is real because we've watched it on TV. We've been programmed for dozens, hundreds, even thousands of hours to believe that war is real. So we must attack the people who ask the questions.
Or you have relatives that were there.
We could be being
something. Maybe that would be one reason you might think that there's more to it than just video.
And what did your relatives say? Do they say that they shot at people? They got shot by people?
Where people are made to believe that war is a media hoax. Because I know my granddad went somewhere.
Yeah, he went. He might have gone somewhere. The idea of the war hoax isn't that nobody went anywhere. The idea is that you didn't have two lines of men shooting or throwing grenades at each other. It's not that people never went anywhere or that they didn't get hurt. And the amazing thing is,
one of my granddads told me stories about that sort of thing. And he was a bit of a rascal, don't get me wrong, he was a bit of a rascal.
Can I just interrupt before we go, because this conversation always goes down this same path. right, about how people's parents and grandparents and whatever have stories from the war, right? So it always ends up the same way. It never sort of leads anywhere. But just specifically talking about World War One and World War Two, right?
It's worth mentioning, though. Excuse me, Deutsch, right? It's worth mentioning, though.
It is, but just have a look, because we are talking about the popes, right? So the what was the world like before? Just we'll use World War One, World War Two, because that's big, right? It's big, and it pretty much encompassed what we know as like every country in the world, just about, right? Or at least 100 countries, the biggest wars ever been, right? So we'll talk about those. So what was the world like before then, politically and otherwise, and what was the world like after, and what changes were made? Because we always look at COVID and say, well, what were they doing? What laws got passed in this during this period of time? What was the reason for the hoax?
Yeah? Not into legality. To bring us into legality, fictional contracts.
Yeah, well,
the Crown Corporation can take ownership of proprietary objects and bring man into this humans nonsense, where they're signing legal documents. Fictional legal documents. That's what it was for.
Mm. Well, there was different nation states. There was independent nation states. So you were a man. If you lived in, say, the 1800s in England, right, you would have been subject to the crown and to, I'm pretty sure England had a parliamentary system back then. You would have been subject to that. So that existed before, right? So we're not talking about that. And they would have wanted to tax you, so they were always looking for ways
to... We were saying a little while ago that you can't go back 200 years. You can't verify any of it.
Yeah, but it had to have begun somewhere. Right? So, and it's not unreasonable to assume that there was a parliament last century.
Yeah, we can assume. As long as you're... putting that in there.
When did the parliament begin?
They can say what they like, mate. Really. Like, and anyone can think whatever they like, but I don't have to. I like to keep my feet on the ground and know what I know to be real. Because people will tell me all kinds of stuff, D-Train. People will tell me all kinds of stuff and like they'll lead us off on a merry dance, mate. We're halfway down the garden path already.
That's why I like to question things in here as well, because Trutherville tends to be a lot of bullshit too. So I like to think things out. Sometimes it takes longer than others. Sometimes you get into a bit of a stoush in the process, but that's okay. It's all part of the process. But what I was getting to about the wars is they abolished the nation state essentially in that period of time between World War One and World War Two, and they established what is now called the United Nations, which did not exist before. And now, as we're finding out as time passes, that we're
even constructs.
Yes, that's right. We're actually all under the
fictional legal construct.
The same control structure. Well, it's not fictional because it actually
is. It is fictional. Legality is fiction.
Yeah, but it's...
F-A-K-O. F-A-K-O. Toronto.
Hi, I'm Silas from Scotland, and you're listening to Fakeologist Audio on Fakeologist.com.
Hi, it's Streamerbit. The date is April 7th, 2024, here on the north shore of Lake Ontarible in Toronto.
The new season's here, and that means it's time to bet on the games. At Big Bookie, we have so many betting markets it'll make your head spin. Bet on first goal scorer, last goal scorer, which direction the wind will be blowing, what colour underwear the referee will be wearing, and so much more. Let's go to retired professional player to give us his pick of the week.
Well, it's round one, and that means there's some good odds to be found. My retired pro multi of the week is Jones first goal scorer, Brown last goal scorer, wind blowing northeasterly, and the referee to be wearing black undies. Multi it all together for odds of 3-1, 1-1, and win big this weekend.
Get the app on your phone for even better odds, and for alerts if you go even 1 week without placing a Hail Mary multi. No cold turkey for you. This app will keep you hooked. So vote with your wallet and support Big Bookie today. In a time of conformity, when everybody seems to be the same. There's no better way to prove that you're an individual than by getting a tattoo, just like everybody else. Stand out from the crowd with your very own permanent reminder that you're special, and your memories can't be taken away from you, other than with laser removal, which we also offer with a 20% discount for repeat customers. Come on down to Big Tattoo Parlor and get yourself marked like the individual you know you are. Vote with your wallet and support Big Tattoo today.
Now back to our show. Everyone here in the audio chat, please tell us your name and where you are from.
Ashton, England.
D-Train, Gold Coast, Australia. Anyway, back to it.
Go ahead, D-Train.
I'm not arguing about whether the United Nations is legal or whether that's a fiction or all of that stuff.
Necromancy. It's all necromancy.
Yeah, but it does exist.
Being dead. You're a fictional dead. You're an acting. You cannot act in legality as a man. It will not be entertained. Are you a living man?
Is that a question?
Not really, but, you know, I'm just making a point.
Yeah.
I know you're a living man. I don't mean to be, like...
No, that's all right. I'm listening to what you're saying. I wasn't sure.
And me, you, mate, as well, yes. So it's all necromancy. It's the realm of the dead things.
It's all for the purpose of control. There's no doubt about that. We're all in agreement on that, right?
We've been taken out of the living as a man with law. We're now fictions in fantasy. Legal fictions, persons, humans. All these legal terms. Like, they'll lead us off on a merry dance, mate. We're halfway down the garden path already.
I was waiting for you to do something, John. You are such a cheeky boy, honestly.
Very timely.
Dodo, stand up. You are no longer extinct.
That's a good one.
No, the dogs come out, don't they, John? John, the dogs come out, don't they?
Can I just say, the last couple of hours, this has been peak fakeologist. This is awesome.
You're an instigator and a provocateur, young man.
Well, you know, the war hoax topic, okay, I'm not going to harp on it, but this has come up literally thousands of times, and D-Train is correct about this. D-Train is correct about this. It always goes, the same thing happens every time. Somebody says, yeah, but my uncle, or yeah, but my grandfather. And then somebody says, we're not saying that nobody went anywhere. We're saying the two people weren't shooting each other. And then somebody says, yeah, but how do you explain the injuries? And then someone says, nobody ever said that no one got injured. They're saying that two lines of people weren't shooting. It just goes around in circles like that. And
you've got to respect it. If you're going to say this sort of thing, if one chooses to say this sort of thing, you must expect that, and don't be surprised by it. Because that would be a bit dull.
That's what I'm trying to say to you.
Good. I'm glad you're not.
The same thing happens.
It will, mate. I wouldn't harp on about it if I was you. It's just a bit pointless, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to suggest the reason it happens.
It's like you're treading water.
That the position that people don't do X, Y, or Z is a negative position. And then you're in the impossible situation of proving a negative, which you cannot do. Yes. So, like, why would you make a statement and assert a negative that can't be proven? I don't understand the line of reasoning.
You and I can't prove that there was no planes on 9/11, right? We can look at the footage and say, that looks fake. We can't prove that the planes are fake.
What can we prove, John?
Exactly, we can't.
We've been saying this for hours. Like, we can't rely on anything, really, unless we know. Like, and then it's one subjective, isn't it? Like, there's the objective and the subjective, and you've got to draw your line somewhere with this. And it could be a double cross, hoax on hoax, couldn't it?
Isn't it amazing how how accurate the book 1984 was? Because in the Ministry of Love, Winston marvelled in the end there after his reprogramming was complete. Before it was complete, he marvelled at how total Big Brother's control was. Yeah, and so we are actually, and people in general, debate about a hoax, right? And that is the brilliance of it. The actual pointing out the hoax requires some sort of justification. The actual hoax itself is someone pointing out the hoax. It's so far-fetched. It sounds so far-fetched that let me see if I can put it correctly. That requires the burden of proof than the war itself. Isn't that amazing how they flipped it so perfectly? Not in a 93.
It's a masterpiece of psychological manipulation. They were supposed to have been the Battle of Hastings in 1066 in England. I don't know, it's got to do with the Saxons coming over or something. And apparently there's zero evidence for it.
Nobody died.
It's just another story. Nobody died, nobody got hurt.
But we love the stories. People love the stories. They're much more entertaining than the truth.
No, but and one of the main issues here is that we don't actually share a common history. But the elites, they put up on us a fake history and tell us that's our common history. Because our real history is our own upbringing and our family, and not the external things that we don't even know if they are real or not. So history in this sense is fake because it's outside of our reach and outside of our own experience. And they tricked us into believing we have this common history. That's the big trick.
I watched the John Le Bon 14-minute video just on YouTube last night, actually, where you were in Estonia, John Le Bon, and that you raised the topic of fake history at a conference. And it was super interesting that you were attacked because they'd never heard this line of thinking before. But
I've lived in Estonia. I've had 2 years in Estonia. I've had 2 years living in Estonia. And I've spoken with the people in Estonia about the wars. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, what's their opinion? Because they were under Soviet control during the Cold War.
The Russians and the Germans went across Estonia 3 times. And the general consensus is that the Germans were gentlemen and the Russians were really bad.
Well, to be fair, when I was in Estonia, I was speaking at a conference. I wasn't even talking about war. I was talking about history, as in ancient Egypt, ancient Rome, the rest of it. I wasn't even talking about the war hoax at that. I went to a conference. So when I was speaking at that conference, I wasn't even talking about war. I was just talking about history. And, the first couple of questions I got from the audience were straight-up NPC-style questions. One of them wasn't even a question. It was, oh, well, I have access to a special underground library in like Oxford or some bullshit place. He claimed in front of everybody, he claimed that he had access to some special library underneath some special building with books that are hundreds of years old. And I was like too polite to, and I was kind of shocked that someone would say something so stupid right off the bat. And I was just like, okay, like that was my response to him. And I got some laughter from the crowd, which I wasn't trying to like elicit laughter. But some people in the crowd could tell I was just, like, what am I supposed to do with this guy? He's trying to tell me that he has access to a special library with books that are 500-600 years old or whatever he said. And I was just like, okay, that's what do I want to say to that? What would you say to such a thing?
Well, you just seem to explain how. If he read all the books.
The books don't exist. He was making up a story. This is what the NPCs do. When the central stories of our time are challenged, history and war are right.
What do people say to Jason Brashears?
These people come out of nowhere, right? Just normal people, and they'll start telling stories to defend the official story. They'll make up stories on the spot, Agent Smith style.
This is what people will do.
But are you sure that he was a normal, or he or she was a normal person not sent to misdirect the bullshit answers?
Obviously, I don't know the guy's backstory. I'm just telling you my experience with the people, both online and in real life, is when someone challenges history or war or especially ultrasound, any of these things, people will just spring into action and start telling bullshit stories, right? Agent Smith style. That's how the world works, online and in real life. And I don't think it's because they're sent by the government. This is just regular people. All of a sudden, oh, my uncle died in Vietnam. All of a sudden, oh, I held a book that was 1,000 years old in some special library. All of a sudden, oh, ultrasound saved my nephew's life. How did ultrasound save your nephew's life? They just start making up stories. They did it during coronavirus as well. They did it during coronavirus. All of a sudden, oh, my grandma died of corona. I had people do this in real life. Suddenly, as soon as someone starts to question the official story, suddenly, oh, my so-and-so died of corona. No, they didn't. They're just making up these stories on the spot, Agent Smith style. Yeah. This is the reality that we live in.
The reason why I bring that up, John Le Bon, is because a very interesting point that you made was that history 100 or so years ago was only pursued by rich and wealthy people as a hobby. That's a super interesting fact right there. So does that mean that the general populace wouldn't have any concept of history? That's an interesting thought process as well.
Well, the thing is, just in case people haven't heard this before, according to the official story, history as we know it has only been an academic discipline for a few generations. Previously, it wasn't its own separate discipline. So now you can enroll in a Bachelor's of Arts majoring in history, okay? That didn't used to be a thing. History, as we know it, hasn't been its own discipline for thousands of years or even hundreds of years. Even according to the official story, it's only been around for a couple hundred years. This idea of teaching history at university.
Most people worked on the land, prepared for the winter during the summer, fixed the house, worked the land, didn't look at books, had no television, and they had an oral history, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah. It was a bit different.
The old history, family history, maybe. That's all they had, their family history.
Yeah, yes. And folklore, that kind of thing, I would guess.
The rich people just had their family history. Obviously, that goes further back because they could keep track of it, right? And I guess at some point they decided to create a fake history for all the rest of us, which so they control the narrative.
Yes.
But
why didn't we do that?
What if the people at the top believe the history? Like Elon Musk, if you hear him talking about history, he sounds to me like he believes it. Right? Same with Hillary Clinton and these other people. What if they believe the history? Like, what if it's not a case of, oh, there's people who's in on it, and then there's people who are not? What if no one's in on it? What if even the establishment believes the bullshit? Has that idea ever occurred to you guys? That whoever started all of this fakery is already long dead. And now the whole world believes this crap.
Well, they get educated too, so obviously, yeah.
That's part of the deception. That's exactly right. I remember there was a Seinfeld episode where the character George was trying to teach the character Jerry to beat a lie detector test. Yeah, and George said something. It's not a lie if you believe it. Yeah, and I think that's a key point. So I agree. I don't think Hillary Clinton is in on it. I think she believes the lie. I think all these people do, as we've brought out before, in their own particular way, they are actors.
I believe they're actors.
Yep.
Yeah, all of them. And I think they probably play multiple roles.
And they don't have to believe anything because they're just reading off a script and they're just acting. Whatever the script says to do.
Master actors, like, born into that culture.
And
have a culture
who knows what they believe? And I don't think they have actually a belief system. They just do it probably for personal reasons or money.
Well, they're humans. They're humans, so I'm guessing they have a belief system. So it mightn't be the same as yours, but they have one.
Yeah, but the motivation is probably different why they do it. It's probably personal issues or narcissism or something.
Yeah, well, yeah. All of the above.
But if that's the case, they're in on it. There's no way around that.
Yeah, but they don't control it. They're in on it. I guess if you look at nowadays, the politicians, why do they become politicians? I guess they like the attention and to be on the inside of a network. But do they really have the entire plan? I don't think so. So they're just a part of the whole system, of the control system. But they don't have the entire plan, and they probably don't care because they are on the big screen. Everybody knows them, and they get the attention. They get the money, right? They get the big houses, and that's why they are in it. They don't see the big picture, and they don't care. Also, that's a big part of it. They don't care about the rest.
Is anybody here experienced any change in history in our lifetime?
In what way?
Right, has history changed in any way, shape, or form for anybody? Has anybody experienced a change in history?
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, I don't know if this is like a direct answer to your question, but I do remember when I was young, the kind of Disney stories would be re-elaborations of old stories, of the old sort of folklore and things. Like, they would kind of retell it in a different way, you know? Like, and I was quite aware of that when I was young. Like, how stories, just stories, can be manipulated, and then the people that watch the Disney films, that is their standard for that story. It becomes the sort of Disney version. And the old story becomes, like, fades into the past. And I don't know if that's like an answer to your question, Deep Fane, but it just what came to mind.
If you believe it.
I think we experience it all the time when supposed war breaks out and all of a sudden then it ends again, and then one nation is an enemy nation and all of a sudden it becomes a partner nation, like Saudi Arabia now, right, where the hijackers came from on 9/11, and now it's probably one of the friendly states to America and so on. I mean, it happens all the time, even the Cold War. And then the fall of communism, the supposed war fall. And I think in the early 90s, Russia probably wasn't the enemy of the West, and it just became the enemy now again. I mean, the enemies change all the time. It used to be North Korea for a while, or the Chinese are now the new enemy.
So before the wars, wasn't there lots of sort of micro sort of nations? And then they became sort of united into larger countries. Like Germany was.
Oh yeah, I think that the concept of nations was developed around. If you go according to history, mainstream history, around in the 1700s, I think that's when the first nations were formed. Before that, there was just kingdoms and stuff, especially in Europe.
Yep, and it's been getting progressively more. It's been getting progressively narrower since then. And my point earlier about World War One and World War Two, whether real or not, irrelevant. The point of that experience, the point of that hoax, the point of that was to reduce it even more in a super accelerated way. Because coming out of that, it's a different world to what it was before that. So that
centralized control. Centralized control. And etymologically, nation is nativity and natural, like these NAT words. It's like an origin.
And I think it started way earlier, because I think that it all started with families and then clans. Probably people, most people probably lived in smaller clans for a long time until they came up with the concept of maybe a township or something. And then even these bigger regions and then essentially countries and then super states like European Union or United States, it's all combining. And there's the African Union and now Asian Union and so on. Like,
capitalism and communism is both centralized control.
Yeah.
They're both two sides of a coin working to, like, the same thing.
I was thinking about a change in history that I've experienced over time. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
When I was growing up, now I'm not a Catholic or anything, so, and I'm not bashing Catholics, but the Catholic Church used to condemn homosexuality, right? Now they changed that, yeah, and all of a sudden they started condoning homosexuality. And now enough time has passed that it's in the younger generation that I'm seeing now, just generally in public, they don't even have to be Catholics anymore. But that spread of that acceptance of homosexuality, and now it has gotten to the point where it's disgusting. It's a terrible thing that anyone would think homosexuality was wrong. So it's in my lifetime that is a historical flip, and I think that that's been happening across the board on the small scale, on individual things, the whole time over the last 100 or so years, and most of the time you wouldn't even notice it. It's the 1984 thing, but in real life.
I'm aware of that, what you just said. I've noticed that. Yeah, when I was young, it just wasn't okay. Like, no, and it's kind of almost encouraged, it seems like, these days.
Mm. It is encouraged. Isn't that amazing? We have all witnessed the change in history. It's amazing how they do it, isn't it?
We are part of that, aren't we? It's like partly we are responsible. I mean, not physically, but like we've allowed this stuff to happen, haven't we? With our young people. Because they're so out of the control of the family, like the kin and the family, and they get programmed in by television and education, and you can do that.
Yep, that's right. There's no escaping it.
Family is so important.
And we also see the change in society, in the way that they put women in charge of everything now.
How about they've got us calling our children kids? Fucking kids. Like a little goat. That's disgusting.
They call a dog a kid.
call it a fucking sort of puppy or a kitten. Like, the children.
And the thing is, if you look at some of the adults nowadays, they actually dress like teenagers or kids. we no longer have grown-ups, actually, here. We have old kids or old teenagers.
You like being that dog. How about being that tough guy.
How about we're all screenagers?
Yeah.
Yes. There's a truism.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Tell me, I'll believe it.
Yeah, that's a good one. You found it. Fantastic. Hey, listen, guys, that was a great chat this morning. I wish we could have more of these sorts of chats, but I've got to go. All right. Have a great day, everyone.
All right.
Fine. Have a good one.
Yeah, with the whole kids thing, I remember when I first heard that idea that you shouldn't call children kids because it means baby goats or whatever. These days, I'm like, it's just a word. Everyone knows who you're referring to, and it's easier to say the word kids than children. It's one syllable less. Rolls off the tongue, kids. So I don't have the same aversion to the word today that I used to. But I can see why people do say, oh, you shouldn't say that, it means baby goats. But it's like, maybe it means baby goats to you, but I'm sure when this person calls their kids kids, they're not thinking of them as baby goats. Like, that's language, isn't it? Language can mean different things to different people.
Yeah, and there's another one, baby. What the fuck is baby?
I agree with
baby.
That, too.
It's fucking stupid, baby.
I think it's well understood that when people say kids,
they
mean children.
I know. We defend what we do, don't we? Like, the Stockholm Syndrome thing. Like, because we do these things, we defend them. And I do that myself, like we do it. Like with the war thing, you know, like I sort of get a knee jerk reaction or whatever it is, but like doesn't make things right, does it? And the words we use, we are the words we use, aren't we? And the structure of our language. I don't think all the time. I don't think you should do that. Like, it's like fucking television talk, isn't it? We hear it on the telly, and we just go, repeat. We do it at school. Let's repeat the telly.
What would be a better way to convey that idea? So if I see you doing something that I think is a bad idea, if I shouldn't say, I don't think you should do that, what would be a better way to express myself to you?
Well, correctly, you should affirm it by saying, I think you should not do that. Not I don't think, because you're constantly telling yourself, I don't think.
Yeah.
This is how language works. And I don't mean to be down on anybody, like, you know, but you listen, everyone's going around saying, I don't think, and it's television talk. People here didn't do that when I was young.
That's an interesting observation.
If we don't take control of the language that we use, we're in trouble.
Okay, but so you take that example. So I don't think you should do that versus I think you should not do that. One of those has a stronger meaning, like in the way that we use language. One of those is a more assertive way of conveying an idea, isn't it? Simply by changing around where the words go in the sentence.
It's a positive. I think. John.
I can see the point you're making.
Yes,
the point I'm making is we use language to convey ideas. We use language to convey ideas. And so what you are doing is projecting what you think about language and how it's used.
No, they might not mean it that way. It is what I think about language, but it isn't good for people go around saying, I don't think, John. As simple as that.
Yeah. Why?
Because you're telling yourself you don't, and people don't think, John. People don't think anymore. We're void critical thinking.
But they're not saying that they don't think at all. They're saying whatever a bunch of words are about to follow this first half of the sentence is what I don't think. They're not saying I don't think at all.
And actually what they're saying is I don't think.
Toronto.
It's the top of the hour on April 7th, 2024. Broadcasting live from the north shore of Lake Ontario.
Adventure, fantasy, romance, action, and plenty for the kids as well. All the escapism you could possibly want streamed direct to your smart TV device. Bundle our movies and kids package for just $15.99 per month for the first 6 months, and you'll also get access to our comedy catalogue as well at no extra charge. The movies and kids bundle with comedy package included, now streaming at Big Media. Vote with your wallet and support Big Media today. So you've got the good news and you have a special little one on the way. You know what you need to do now. Find out if it's a boy or a girl. At Big Radiation Clinics, we have the latest in 4D sonogram technology to let you see every nook and cranny of your bundle of joy. More often than not, you'll even get to see your baby kicking and squirming while we take a peek. It's almost as though they can feel the radiation cooking them in real time. So come on down to Big Radiation Clinics and see the baby today. Here, we see a starving African child. His village has no running water, and food is scarce. With World Vision, you can feed him for just $1 per day. Here we see an independent researcher and content creator living in some little town in Eastern Europe. Times are tough. Now that the pandemic is over and the world has gone back to normal, nobody cares about the truth anymore. He hasn't been able to afford any H or B for months now. You can feed his hedonistic appetite for just US 70 cents per day. Don't let this truth artist starve. Nourish him. Join johnlebon.com today.
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
My wife says I repeat my... She says I don't listen at all anymore.
Can everyone here please say your name and where you are from to introduce yourselves to the live audience?
I'm the loser of society nowadays. I'm a white, straight guy.
You're right, on England.
That's enough.
Yeah.
If you say, I don't think, that's actually a contradiction. I mean, only AI or a robot could make that statement. Right? If you say, I don't think, well, actually, I think you do think. If you're human, you're thinking. So...
Exactly.
But only when you're taking those words out of the context of the sentence they're in. So if someone says, I don't think you should do that, what they're saying is, the thought that you should do that isn't a thought that goes on in my head. They're not saying, I don't think at all.
That's what's coming out of their mouth, John. If you want to condition a populace to not think, you do really well to get them saying, I don't think, regularly. And what the effect that would have on the subconscious. And I'm kind of had enough of it anyway.
I think so, more importantly, has anyone on this call heard the idea that a fairly large number of people have no internal monologue? That's been going around a little bit lately.
I think we talked about it before.
That would be the same thing as not thinking.
Well, yeah, in that case, the statement is true. If that person says, I don't think, so this statement is true.
I don't think, therefore I'm not.
Well.
Maybe they are.
But then...
That's already too much. A person that doesn't think.
Except Osho's perspective that your mind is not your own, that it was given to you by your parents, your church, your schools, your government, your entertainment, your books, and you just go around in circles regurgitating everything that's been dumped into your mind over the course of a lifetime. You know, I don't know, is thinking maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, but somebody's still making decisions.
Yeah, they're called doers, not thinkers.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't matter how you come to the conclusion, whatever you decide to do, but you still have to make a decision.
There's a very interesting read called The Intellectuals that is some biographical descriptions of like Rousseau, Marx, Henrik Ibsen, Hemingway, a bunch of people that were thought to be great minds that have had a big influence on the way culture and society think and work. And almost to a man, they were just despicable people across the board. And they were always very concerned about humanity with a capital H, but they had very little regard for their family, friends, personal acquaintances, responsibilities, obligations. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, the whole idea of the intellectual in itself and their grand plans for the world and society and whatnot.
Yeah, and they're all part of the elite system, so obviously they were there to control the masses. Even Karl Marx, did you know that he's connected to the Philips Electronics company of Netherlands? So he was playing the controlled opposition. He was preventing a real revolution with his communist...
Ooh, what real revolution? I got my popcorn. I'm standing by waiting for the proletariat to rise up. Like, that's going to happen. Oh, my Lord. Well,
it's not. Yeah, that's why he's the character of history to take off the pressure from society.
If there was ever in the world a singular opportunity for the proletariat to rise and show resistance against the machine, it was during COVID. And we saw how that worked out. That was the opportunity for the masses to resist, because there was very little risk to not wear a mask, like almost none. Anybody could have walked into a store. They could have continued to go to school. They could have done anything they wanted, and they folded like a cheap suit, as the saying goes. So there's no revolution. Don't look for it. That's not happening, period.
Yes, correct.
I don't think
it's
a joke.
But if we go to history and if we assume that history, mainstream history, some of the mainstream history was real, that our ancestors were mostly working the fields and so on and rather poor, well, obviously they had more reasons to revolt than people nowadays, because we are well fed. And even the poor, they're better off than people 100 years ago. I mean, nobody's starving. So what?
Bread and circus.
Yeah.
Food and entertainment for the masses. Chattel slave. A chattel slave knows they're a slave. Yes. And they, after a while, they uprise. Now, excuse me, Zero. Please continue. I'm ranting. Excuse me, mate.
No, I'm saying nobody's starving, at least in the West. As far as I can tell, maybe some of the homeless people, but other than that, there's no real reason to revolt, because nobody's dying of starvation.
Yeah, I don't think, therefore I'm not.
Wonderful! So I guess if starvation would actually happen in our nations, then I guess there would be an uprising, at least a real one. I don't know if it has any effect. That's a whole other issue, right? But then, until then, there's not going to be a revolution or anything. People are...
Well, think about the word revolution. What does that mean to revolve?
Come back to the time
thing. You go around and you come back to the same place. Exactly.
Yeah. But it's the semantics. The words we use are so important. And I would... So, I did intend to stop talking, yeah, but Farsh, you said humans are a capital H, and I don't mean to pick on you, mate, or anything, but we're mankind, and they've got us saying this humans word. What the fuck is humans? We are mankind, and they've taken this out of the dialect now, because they don't want us thinking we're man and we're kind. They want us thinking we're this violent creature that wants to take and be aggressive. And we're not, like, we're kind.
Well, seems like you have a big list of words that we can and can't use. Like, a little bit like the language police. Yeah. Like, there are words we should and should not use.
No, I don't mean to do that, John. Honestly, I don't mean to do that.
But is there really a word that we can say that conveys the essence of whatever we're to man, if you want to use the word man? Is there really a word that you can use that's going to really convey the essence of what a man is? I mean, it's kind of arbitrary what the words are. I understand what you're saying, but it's like, you know, like the idea of God or something. There's no word that can possibly express this idea of God. And so it's kind of like, you know, why argue about what the words are? Because none of them are ever going to mean what the experience of God, the experience of being a man.
You control people with the language they use. We are what like the language we use. The structure of the language we use. We are. It's really important. And I don't want to be someone who comes across as saying, like, don't say those words. I don't, that's not what I mean. I'm just kind of, it's like fakeology to me. We've been imposed upon and drugged down in what we eat, how we think, what we say, the words we use, and we defend it.
Well, I
wait, again, you're saying we a lot. You say we a lot of the time.
Becoming smaller. Yeah, we. I definitely yeah, listen into that we myself. Yes. But like, say no, for example, the word well. Evil. Does anyone on this call know what evil is? Do we have a definition of evil? And I actually looked it up in the dictionary, and they're all tautologies. all the definitions of evil are tautologies. Evil is
mean,
wicked.
Please?
If you look up wicked, it's... Hmm?
I was asking
you're
what...
You're replacing one word with another word.
Okay.
Evil is the opposite of good.
Evil
yeah, and there's no information there. None.
Is evil not the opposite of good?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
That's no information about what evil is. If you have to use, like, its opposite to describe it, you're not giving us information. It's okay. I'm just pointing out the limitation of words.
It's important.
Evil can be many things. And it's different to everyone, but it's an experience too. It's an unpleasant experience. Something that obviously, but yeah, you feel negative. You can just describe it, I guess, or what you feel when you experience evil.
So it's in essence, what? You're saying the word is so vague it may as well be meaningless because there's no real solid definition.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, so if I say tree, then we all kind of know what a tree is. We can picture it in our
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, but a tree is a material thing. You're talking right. About abstraction here. Evil is not another thing that you can touch necessarily. So it's more a term. It's just a word describing things that are not materialized, I guess. Well, it could be.
But how
if you're
much
an evil
of
person.
Our systems of government and religion and society and culture revolve around making distinctions between what we call good and evil, and whether you should do this or that because one is good and one is evil, or bad. Good and bad may be more correct. But everything that I see, especially when it comes to politics, the news, religion, it's all weighed in terms of good versus bad. But there's no definitions of good versus bad, so people are just being herded around by whoever sets the parameters of what they call good and bad, because there's no real definitions.
And you're a babbler, and you're an antichrist.
And I wear the name proudly, Dave J. Come get some, Dave.
I wouldn't blame Dave. I'd blame that Le Bon fella if I was you. He's the culprit.
I got a little annoyed early this morning because they were doing all kind of housekeeping about Discord. And then it turns out I got a friend who like just recently signed up for Discord, and he wants to watch live sports streaming on Discord. And there's a channel called Crackstream or something where you can go watch.
What?
Sports being streamed in real time.
I
don't know how to tell him to get to these servers, so I'm like, I'm going to look around. I'll ask the people and see if I can find something for you.
If you watch live sports backwards, are they evil?
well, they all end in a tie. So, I don't know. It's kind of a 50-50, right? They're both 0-0 at the end of that equation.
They finish at the start and end at the beginning.
All right. Nobody has any tips on the Discord server that where you can watch live sports?
No.
I'm going to have to figure this out. I didn't think this was the right audience. Yeah, exactly.
I just learned what
well, I asked.
I said just I learned what a Discord boost was today, so you're asking the wrong guy.
If you want streams for sports, let me tell you a very simple solution. There's a Russian search engine called Yandex, Y-A-N-D-E-X. If you go to Yandex and Google whatever stream you want, okay, it could be the Minnesota Vikings versus whoever. Just type in what you want, and the top results will be what you're looking for. So that's how Google might have been 10 or 15 years ago, is how Yandex is today. It's a search engine that will give you what you want, and you'll go straight to a free stream. And there might be one pop-up ad where you just click the X and it goes away, and then you've got the stream for free. It's super simple.
He just wants a free stream?
Well, his friend wants to watch it on Discord so he can chat with others while they watch it.
I don't think so. I just think he was looking for it. But that's good, John LeBron. Thank you.
Oh, just free stream.
You're kind of a sports fan, aren't you, John LeBron?
I'm a big-time sports fan, yeah. And I use Yandex to find the streams that I'm looking for, and it is an absolute cinch. It's incredibly easy.
You know what Yandex is?
Thanks for the tip. I'm gonna pass that on. That's what I'm going to use.
I'm serious, man. Try it. I used it literally today. I used it. I've been using this one ever since I learned this trick. I learned this a few months ago. Ever since I learned it, I've been using it. And it works every time.
Sometimes you find them on X too, on Twitter. Like, if you type in the right hashtag, you get spammed by all these streamers. And some of the streams actually work there. So.
Well, because what happens is if you use Google and you try to find a stream, Google's rigged now, so it'll just come up with all the, like, either fake links to streams that then take you to the paid official NFL website, for example, or it'll come up with bullshit websites that are a waste of time, right? It's been rigged that way.
Oh, Yandex is
just straight up, whatever you're looking for, it'll take you there. As far as sports streams go, I don't know what it does for other searches, but if you want sports streams, like, it's so whatever you want now is so easy to find. Same with PDFs of books or even TV shows. Like, I'll watch a person's YouTube channel, and I'll say, oh, I couldn't find this episode of this TV show. And I'll be like, okay, did you search? You can find anything you want for free. And it takes minutes to download. We live in an incredible time of information.
Anything. Yeah. Be careful. Yandex in Russian is evil. Just kidding.
I don't think, therefore, I'm not.
All right, That one's getting a little bit beat there. I'm starting to see the marks of the stick on the dead horse.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
I think that was Alex Jones' defense in court. It's not a lie because I believe it.
I thought Alex Jones' defense was to do with some white goods that he recently purchased.
Your fridge is actually informing the government of what you're eating.
So would Alex Jones' fridge have his neighbor's ass in it?
No alcohol.
You're a corpse. Yeah, you're a spiritual corpse. You might as well be a meat puppet walking around.
Full of vodka bottles. I wonder how drunk he is before the show, before he goes on.
Dave J.
Yeah.
I don't think Dave J drinks alcohol. He had
No.
Alex Jones. I was talking about Alex Jones.
I haven't watched one of his shows in a long time. Do you guys still watch his show?
Alcoholic. No.
How often is he on the show? Like 3 times a week? How often is he on?
It's every day. It's daily.
Do you still watch or listen to him, honestly?
No. I tried to.
You can tell us. Like, I'm not going to judge you. I'm just curious.
I'm being honest. I tried to go back just to see what he's saying nowadays. I couldn't get through, like, 10 minutes.
What is he talking about? What is he talking about? I don't know.
It's all, like, the mainstream news and then his take on it.
Yeah, he says a lot of
this is what they say, but this is what's really going on. Yeah. It's more... Yeah. More false. It's basically like false flag.
Everything isn't that the purpose of about half of alternative media, at least, if not more, to just amplify the mainstream news for the people that no longer watch TV and they get their news from podcasts and sound clips and that sort of thing?
He's basically the mainstream news for the internet. I mean, the alternative news for internet.
People that don't watch mainstream news. That's exactly what Alex Jones is.
You think the bumpers on Fakeologists are bad? He's got a commercial like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, half of his show is commercials, and then the other half is either begging for money or telling you what the news is on TV. Like yeah, Alex,
Superman Vitality or something.
It's terrible. Can you tell us something new or something that's mysterious that we don't know that like you used to do?
Now I'm going to sell alcohol.
I'm kind of retarded.
Buy a bottle of vodka now.
Did anybody sell
his own alcohol brand?
I was listening to Alex Jones in 1997 when I moved to Austin then, before I was here now, and he had a cable access show, and he would broadcast on radio like Saturday night from 9 to 12 or something, and he was all about Y2K and Clinton and the black helicopters that were going to come down and do something. There were always black helicopters that were going to do something. I don't know. I never saw the black helicopters, but he was small time back then. He was just doing it. I actually had a friend that was his audio guy, because he would go do local interests, like, what are they called? He would go out and interview the city council people or review restaurants, whatever. Little stories, and the guy I was working with was his audio guy, and he'd go out and hold the mic for him and whatnot. And it was a little small time operation on cable access. That hasn't been that long, actually. It's not 25 years, something almost. But he's come a long way in that time. However, he did it.
Did you ever give any credence to the idea that Bill Hicks is Alex Jones?
I don't think the timelines work, and there I have seen videos of Alex interviewing or causing kind of a commotion at a city council meeting when he might have been in his early 20s, and he doesn't look anything like Bill Hicks back then. It's just like it's like such a – now, the only other thing I would say, that the Alex Jones that we think of now is Alex – could have replaced the guy that I saw that was calling himself Alex Jones back then. And I think there's a big height disparity too between the two people. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it works out from what I gather.
I watched a video one time, I think it was his producer or somebody that called him.
Yeah, Kevin
Bill.
Booth.
They called him
Bill
Kevin
on Booth.
And
but that could be an inside joke. He knows about these stories.
Well, Kevin Booth produced both of them, so there is that connection.
I think I still have a clip of him when he says,
he says
all kinds of things.
Yeah, exactly.
I am Jewish.
Another personal connection, SMJ has done landscaping for Alex Jones, I think. He may have met him in person.
And the weird part is that he knows Joe Rogan from back in the 90s, right? Like Alex Jones, he's connected to Hollywood in some way. I don't know why he's friends with Joe Rogan and he goes way back with him. That's funny. And he's apparently buddies with Tucker Carlson now and so on, and all these people, all these characters.
Every big major Hollywood star is a Jew. Trust me.
Yeah. It's the globalists. It's the Chinese. And the funny fact is also, I think his first and his second wife are both Jewish.
They're Chi-Coms, brother.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I meant Chi-Coms.
It's the Chi-Coms.
You're not supposed to.
They call themselves a professional, high-level government operative.
But don't worry, brother. If you do some survival show next to, you don't have to worry about the Chi-Coms.
Hey, you're good. You're doing good impression.
Are the freaking frogs gay?
You care more about the frogs than anything else.
Well, that's also not true. The thing about the frogs was chemical that they were putting in the vegetation and shit and turning them into transgenders. And this whole thing about the frogs was pertaining to people at the same time. It wasn't just he only cares about the frogs. It was more about what it's doing to the people that's eating the food.
Yeah.
If it's doing that, what is it doing?
It was BPA, I think, was the thing at the time. BPA was causing all these hormonal shifts. I haven't heard anything about BPA in a while. But that
I hear about BPA
all the
time.
Really?
I constantly hear shit about BPA. As a matter of fact, anytime you buy plastic, it says, it's BPA free.
Yeah, yeah. You see that now everywhere. I know. I noticed that too. And I actually pay attention to that. It could be a hoax or something, what I know, but I make sure that my plastic now doesn't, or at least says BPA free. I don't know why. It's conditioning, but.
It's just another marketing strategy. It's probably,
yeah,
it's the
probably
same.
The same crap. Yeah, absolutely. I think, but you never know, right? How would I know, man? I'm not the chemical expert.
You know what I don't like about LED bulbs, other than the fact that you can't look at them without hurting your eyes, is the fact that after a very short amount of time, they start doing stupid shit like blinking and not performing well at all. And it's like, why did they come out with this, and now it's the only bulbs you can find, unless you're willing to pay way more for the old-style lights. And then before the, what I call the old-style lights, they allegedly had some lights that would pretty much last forever.
Yeah.
Before the time, of course, but it's like, they're constantly reinventing everything to be shittier and shittier and shittier.
Consumer products.
I've got compelling arguments to contradict the light bulb thing, because I'm kind of a fan of LEDs personally, and I don't have those issues. And I have heard about the light bulb conspiracy, and supposedly the Chicago firehouse has a light bulb that's been on for over 100 years. But what I've heard is that burning the bulb is not what reduces its life. It's the striking and dousing that causes it to fail earlier. At least the incandescent bulb. So, if you turn the bulb on, it may just stay on for 20 years. But if you turn it on and off every day, it may only last 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of idea.
No, and there's definitely legitimacy in that. How many times have you turned incandescent, and as soon as you flick it on, it goes pop? Plenty of times for me. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's definitely that's true. But at the end of the day, I don't like LED bulbs simply because they're hard to look at and they start misperforming way quicker than what they claim. Like, all the LED bulbs in my bathroom flicker and flash, all this other type of bullshit. Every time I drive past one of these brand new buildings, like, you thought neon was bad? These fucking LED signs are even worse, man. All they do is flash and flicker when they're not supposed to. And it's like, what the hell is going on here? Who would want this ugly-ass light in the first place? And then all it does is flicker all the time.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay! Do you understand?
The life cycle of the LEDs and the innovation turnover is really rapid, or has been for a few years. So, like, the early incarnations of LEDs weren't dimmable. They'd have a lot of trouble with dimmers, and there were issues. But then, like a year later, they've fixed that. And I think there's been many incarnations of the technology within the last 10 years, say, where, like, I have no issues with all the LED bulbs I have in my house. And the thing I like, I have the Philips Wiz bulbs, which they're super cheap. They're like $13 a bulb, which is...
Are you still driving some car which is 10 years old and barely impresses anybody? Sure, it gets you from A to B, but don't you want to be seen as successful and stylish? Don't you want the comfort of brand new leather seats which nobody has sat in before. At Big Auto Car Yards, we offer no deposit finance, so you can get wheels which turn heads and make you feel like your unfulfilling go-nowhere job is worth driving to once again. So come on down to Big Auto and sign the next 10 years of your life away. Vote with your wallet and support Big Auto today. See all of these people smiling and having fun? See their white teeth and bright eyes and trim figures? See how they're laughing and dancing and surrounded by friends of all kinds? They're reading the chocolates from the Big Sugar Favourites collection. It comes in a colourful box and there's 50 different bite-sized pieces of gooey goodness in every pack. You'll feel happy as soon as you put the Favourites box in your shopping cart. Then you can get home and dive into your favourite chocolates wrapped in wrappers of blue, red, green, orange and more. Vote with your wallet and support Big Sugar today. So you've got the good news and you have a special little one on the way. You know what you need to do now. Find out if it's a boy or a girl. At Big Radiation Clinics, we have the latest in 4D sonogram technology to let you see every nook and cranny of your bundle of joy. More often than not, you'll even get to see your baby kicking and squirming while we take a peek. It's almost as though they can feel the radiation cooking them in real time. So come on down to Big Radiation Clinics and see the baby today.
Now back to our show. Can one of our hosts tell us who's here in the audio chat right now?
This I will probably end up going to jail.
I don't think, therefore I'm not, from Arkansas.
JLB from Plovdiv. By the way, is that you? Did you come up with that, or did you get that from someone? But I don't think they're from. Because the reason I clipped that is, so I think that's very clever.
Denmark.
Who's that from?
It literally just popped in my head when the guy was talking about. I don't think. I'm not sure what author said it, but I think therefore I am. Yeah, basically just.
That's meant to be Descartes, I think. I could be wrong. I don't know who originally said it. It could be Descartes. But the idea of I don't think therefore I'm not. If you're the first person who said that, that is brilliant. That is genuinely savant level of insight into that conversation.
It just popped into my head. That's all I can say.
All right, we've got Aeon from somewhere in the UK, Buzzing from somewhere in America, Dookie from somewhere in America, Fast Value from Texas, formerly Florida, Toby's Freedom from Denmark, 01 from Germany. And before the break, you were talking about neon lights. Are they dangerous? Something like that.
No, we were talking about LED lights.
Yeah, and just to finish my little wrap on LEDs, I installed these in a few, like a living room, kitchen, dining. And they're all dimmable and color manageable and stuff. And like cost of it. I was doing home theater installations for a while, and a similar system with incandescents would be in the tens of thousands of dollars, and I did this for a couple hundred bucks. I can't complain. Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's amazing.
Well, let me ask you, how old is your house? What year was it built?
It's not that. It's a pretty new house. It's only like 7 years old or something like that, so yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, because I live in a house that was built in 2020, and every single house in my whole entire neighborhood is built by the same builders. It's the shittiest quality materials, the shittiest quality craftsmanship and everything. So, I mean, it could be the wiring. It could be lots of shit, but the same complaints that I'm listing, practically everybody in the neighborhood has the same exact issues. We all have LED lights, and also with these, when I was talking about these buildings that have the LED lights and they're already flashing and doing shit they're not supposed to do, those are all new constructions too. Now, it might not be the blame of the LEDs themselves. It could just be poor workmanship, poor design, poor materials, just all of that. But I just don't like LEDs just because you can't look at them like you used to be able to look at light bulbs. I've spent my fair share of time
I will say that I have encountered a wide variation in quality and performance between LED brands and, you know, to when they were manufactured. Like the newer models are better. They've ironed out a lot of issues, but Yeah, I get what you're saying. I've experienced all those problems before in the past, but with different LED lights. But yeah, for the convenience and versatility of the things that I have, for the price, it's amazing. It's just like, wow, this, you know. Yeah, I do like to take time to be cognizant of improvements and things in the current situation and not get too dragged down with everything's horrible now and it was better 100 years ago or whatever. Like, I don't know.
And I respect that. Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't like to be negative just because it's the present day. I think there's lots of good things going on. But at the same time, I also have fond memories of staring at light bulbs. And I can't do that anymore with LEDs. And it's weird, too. This is the way they work, too. Is for one, it's like they got these, most of these, especially in industrial places and commercial places, they have these square LEDs with just like hundreds of little LEDs inside the box. And it's like it's real directional light. It doesn't fill the room. It only lights up that one particular section. But then again, if you go to look at it, it's the brightest fucking thing you've ever seen in your life. And it's like, how is the light not spreading out? Because, you know, we have fucking a 60-watt regular bulb from the 90s fill up a whole entire room of lower-level light with just that one bulb. But now we got these big, huge LED lights that are super bright, but it's like they only illuminate a very small portion of the building. And then don't even fucking think about looking at it because you'll burn your fucking eyeballs immediately. I just don't like that. But yeah, I'm not one to bitch about the things that that's going on in modern day, because we do have, there's obvious things that we have here that are nice, but at the end of the day, light bulbs, in my opinion, are not one of those improvements. But that's just my story. How old is your house? What year was it built? I'm not going to shit down your throat because you like it.
What do you guys think about this idea that if people are constantly worried about what's in their food, what's in their water, what's in the light, what's in their clothes, it has like a nocebo effect, and that could be just as toxic, if not more so, than the stuff they're consuming itself. Have you guys heard this idea before?
No, but let me tell you something about LED lights. It was a joke. LED killed the talk. It's definitely not good. We have the proof right here.
I think you may have cut out to the punchline, so you may have to repeat it for my benefit anyway.
Was there a punchline?
No, I just didn't say anything.
That was the punchline. The silence was the punchline. But speaking of LEDs and Alex Jones, which were previous. I remember seeing one of the last, not John Bound, what's the other one? They're kind of similar. Anyways, one of the special reporters on InfoWars was talking about these LED lights that they use on the streets now and how they can be fitted with a device to make them flash in a certain way to where it could kill you or cause you to stop moving and all this other type of shit. And do y'all think that technology exists, or is it just more fear porn to get us scared of the government?
Yeah, I'm going to make an admission on this call that I'm a little sheepish about having to say, but I still have my little bottle of iodine pills that I bought to protect myself from the radiation cloud coming across the Pacific from Fukushima that was going to poison us all with radiation that Alex Jones convinced me of back in the day. And I do think I may have been looking at railroad cars to see if the FEMA coffins were coming to my town. So, yeah, I'm a little bit...
What FEMA region are you in?
The boy crying wolf cried wolf a few too many times for me, so no, I'm not buying that. I'm sorry.
Well, here's my deal. You've already, first of all, you've already admitted to that on air before, but and I've also admitted to owning a few Alex Jones products myself. But those FEMA coffins, there's tons of them around here. You know what they are? They're boat. A lot of people call them coffin liners, which they may serve that purpose too. But the same exact design and everything is used here where I live, and they're for boat dock floats. They fill them up with styrofoam and shit, and they set them under the boat dock. And there's stacks and stacks, just like those videos that Alex Jones used to show of the mountains of those fucking things. We have a place very close to where I'm at now that has stacks and stacks and stacks of them fucking things. And I moved out here maybe like 10, 11 years ago, and the first time I saw it, I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? That's them things. And I asked my friend out here, I said, dude, what is that? He's like, oh, yeah, those are the things that they use on boat docks around here to make them float. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's something I didn't consider. So not everything is nefarious, in my opinion. And why are there lots of them? Gee, I don't know. There's a lot of demand for boats and boat docks around here, for one, but I don't know.
I remember, do you guys remember Joyce Carlson, the guy that was selling bunkers or strategic relocation stuff?
Yeah. I kind of like that guy.
Yeah.
What about
yeah.
him?
No, but he was always on, and he was like saying, you have to move to this state when shit is hitting the fans, and then get out of the cities, and this highway is clogged up, and be prepared. It's all it tends to lead into this prepper scene, right? And buy new products and be prepared for the new war, for the new fictional war.
Well, that's
and get your bunker now in the discounts.
It's all attacked to sell the book. Strategic relocation.
No, even his services, right? He was offering services to get a bunker built or some compound and then some hidden location. I wonder how many people actually have these bunkers somewhere and are prepared for World War III.
See, that's what's funny about understanding people like him and Alex Jones. It's like, at the end of the day, they're just salesmen. They're just using tactics.
And fearmongers, yes.
They're using tactics to sell more shit. And
they'll lead us off on a merry dance, mate. We're halfway down the garden path already.
And I'm not maybe Alex Jones is also getting paid by the lobby here to sell more guns. That could play into it.
Well, Lena brought up an interesting
point. It's a fearmongering.
About,
you have to buy new guns now. The Russians are coming.
But see, we might as well be the boomers in that regard, because I know we have a boomer on the call. I'm pretty sure we do anyway. But we may as well be the boomers in that regard, because according to, I think it was Linda that said it a couple days ago, the way they're doing these gun drills in schools, the kids aren't into guns. Like I was into guns from an early age. It's fun to take a BB gun and go out in the back and start shooting cans or squirrels or birds or whatever I could see. But according to her and a lot of other people, kids just don't like guns anymore. My kids are exposed to guns, but they don't show any interest. It could be because they're close, but I'm not sure.
Well, because they like trannies now. They don't like guns. They like trannies.
It's weird. Well, I mean, it's all a fear program, you know?
Well, yeah, and I may have said this on the call too. What I didn't realize after Sandy Hook and whatever, all the pick your school shooting of choice, it's the PSYOP itself isn't really the thing that's designed to move the needle.
that's the pretense for all the drills they're going to do in every school in the country for the next 10 years after Sandy Hook. And that's what sets the anti-gun sentiment amongst all the kids. It's not just the one PSYOP. Most people would probably recover from that pretty easily and not be affected for the rest of their lives by one event. But then if they're subject to these drills over and over again for the entirety of their elementary and high school lives, well, then they're going to have a different outlook.
So it must have been you saying that, then. That's 100% real. I mean, you can see it. It's right in front of your face. And I agree with that. It's because you were the one that was talking about growing up with the nuke drills in school, too.
They didn't nuke drills when I was a kid, but I was talking to a younger person who graduated school about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe. And he had the gun drills.
So Hiroshima and Nagasaki were the pretext to the fucking fake nuke drills, and the fake school shootings are the pretext for the fake intruder drills.
Right.
And it's all designed to get you to fear this thing that's likely never going to happen. You know, I'm not worried about getting shot randomly by a stranger that doesn't know me. That doesn't even cross my mind. But you know, you probably these kids growing up now that's dealing with these things. Maybe it's always in the back of their mind that oh fuck, at any time and some crazy lunatic could just be. Enter wherever I'm at and just start shooting people for no reason whatsoever. I can see that
There's another problem. It's a psychological phenomenon about people weigh the cost of losing something much heavier than they do against the risk of gaining things. Or they weigh the risk of losing against the possibility of gaining something. So you could ask somebody, well, you know, would you be willing to risk $5 on a 50-50 chance to win 100 or something? And they'll weigh it in their mind, and they'll avoid a stronger odd possibility of winning. They'll avoid playing because they want to avoid losing more than they're considering the possibility of winning. I'm not explaining it quite right, but they've sort of done some studies on people and with calculating odds of this thing or that, and people are just generally risk averse. That's why they say that the people that do better in life, they're less averse to risk. They're more willing to take risk.
And well, that's what. So, well, I think
that I've got a 0.001 chance or less of ever getting shot by some random person in a school, but just in case, we should not have any guns.
But it's the same psychology that guy earlier was talking about thinking and the way you word things and I don't think and all that. But he was also saying that you should be conscious of what you're saying more. But I think that the more you think about something, the more often than not, it's going to cause you not to act in the way that you should. Because I think that the best way to live is to take more risks, not less. But there's a reason insurance companies are the biggest companies in the world. It's because of people don't want to take any chances. They're scared. They're constantly in a fear state. And that's why they would rather pay the insurance companies half of their money than to even think about the possibility that nothing, there's probably a very high chance that absolutely nothing is going to happen. They don't think about, oh, well, I've been paying these dickheads for 50 years, and I've never once had to use my insurance. I don't think that ever crosses most people's minds. I, for one, hate the idea of insurance. I think it's gay as fuck, but I don't know, man.
It's probably like anything that's around for long enough that gets subject to regulation and
gets corporatized and bought out by BlackRock or whatever. It eventually gets financialized and shifted to where it benefits the owner in a much more pronounced way than it was when it started. Like the idea of distributed risk, I think it makes sense. If you're like, well, I'll put out a little money every year that I'm not really going to feel, because if something catastrophic were to happen, it would break me, and it's worth this little pittance that I put out, even though it probably won't happen. I could, you know, have a contingency in case something catastrophic happens. But then over time, as they get more regulated and more requirements, and then you have to have insurance for this and that, and then they can raise the rates, and then they have the fake money going on. I think there's a lot of things that go into it where after a while it's like, okay, now it's just abuse, you know. So
systems get abused. And what do you think about this? I think that crowdfunding is the perfect escape from insurance. In the way that, let's just say, a person in a particular neighborhood, something happens, should they lose everything or something. Well, their neighbors could come together and normally and historically it's been just bringing food over and condolences and things like that. But monetarily, I think crowdfunding is much more effective and individualized than having to deal with insurance at all. I'm wondering if the insurance companies own the crowdfunding companies.
Well, they may now, you know. But that's, and, you know, not to bang this drum because everybody's tired of hearing it, I know, but that's how things were managed before the whatever exponential expansion of state power and control. Where, you know, charities and fraternities and things, religious organizations that managed that sort of thing without this sort of overarching government corporate entities taking care of that sort of thing. So, because like nowadays, it's if you're going to have a mortgage or you're going to have a car payment and you're financing these things, they will not let you own your house or your car without insurance. That's been regulated into a mandate by the relationship of the banks and the governments. So the choice isn't really there for most people.
They won't. You can own it. You just can't. They won't let you borrow money to buy it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Most people have a mortgage or they have a car payment. So there's a financial institution that's going to say, well, we're not going to lend you this money unless you have insurance. Don't even think about it.
Correct, yeah. But in my state, you do have even if you own your car, you still are required to have a certain level of insurance on it.
I've heard of some states that will allow people to drive without insurance if they can prove that they have, you know, enough of a stake to be able to pay for something catastrophic. I don't know what it would have to be nowadays. Tens of millions, probably.
Probably.
Are you following this show at all? I said I put the show notes in.
It's like John LeBron's just greasing the wheels. He's like climbing the pump with the soundboard. That's awesome.
Well, let me ask you, Adam. Well, how old is your house? What year was it built?
Yeah. Every big major Hollywood star is a Jew. Trust me.
Yeah. Fine. So what?
You're cut now, wait. Oh, boy.
Well, guess who it is, Ed?
Dave J.
Guess who it is?
Oh, come on.
Guess who?
That was still funny.
I haven't even looked at the soundboard yet. So how many buttons do you get if you have the advanced soundboard package?
If you get the Advanced Ultimate Premium Silver Package, you get 30, you get 36 buttons to upload to.
So you've got to be cycling them out, right?
Yes, I have to. Yeah, so there was a moment earlier where I wanted to play the clip of Ab saying, can you tell me a story we haven't heard? But I had to drop that to add the one of somebody else saying, tell me about your house. How old is your house? So sometimes the one that I just cycled out is the one that I wanted to use.
Yeah, you could have nailed me with that. Can you tell me a story you haven't heard? That would have been...
That was my plan. When you said, I know people were sick of hearing it, that it was gone, unfortunately.
Well,
hey, Fast Value, man, you've been here for a long time. Do you think the last few weeks, maybe the last month or two, like the audio chats really have come back in a big way, which I personally think is fantastic?
It seems like I think there's a pretty good crowd here now. I'm enjoying it. I have a lot of responsibilities from day to day, so it's hard for me to be regular, but... Yeah, a lot of times when I pop into the server, there's some people on and there's some good conversations happening. So I've been enjoying it lately.
Okay, so that's the end of the second of the three files that I'm uploading as part of this JLB Chats number 24. In the third part, we get into this discussion about, is the border crossing a hoax? Is it really happening? Because most people seem to think that it is, but there was one guy on the call who's like, I don't think that it is. And then somebody said, I tell you what, how about we send you some money, you put some fuel in the tank, because he claims to be close to where this is happening. You drive to where this is happening, and you document it. Either it is happening, and this is very important, or it's not happening. There's a gigantic hoax going on. This deserves more attention. So we talk about that. Some people think that native people are a hoax. They don't even believe that there are such things as so-called Indians or Aboriginal Australians. I don't know what's really... It's very strange stuff, folks. You need to hear this for yourself. This comes up in part three. What is the history hoax idea really? And is there a simple test to determine if this place that we live in is in fact a simulation? I put forward the idea that there's a very easy way to test this idea. Incredibly easy. So go to part 3 and check that out. This is JLB Chats number 24 based on Fakeologist Audio Chat number 1398. I've taken the time to balance the audio, to get rid of the dead air, to separate it into separate files so that people can download and stream these more easily. That's the effort that I've put in, and I hope you guys are enjoying this. If you are, go and check out the rest of the JLB chats at johnlebon.com. They're all free. Or go to Fakeologist, where you can take part in these kinds of conversations on their Discord server. That is also free. And a big thanks to the people who support Fakeologist.com. And I'm one of those people who do. I support it, and I promote it. I know that a lot of stuff that happens there is not so good, and there are some toxic people there. I understand that. But I try to focus on the good stuff. And I think so far, FAC1398 is more proof that there are some decent people over at Fakeologist who can have some decent conversations. And I, for one, am enjoying it. And if you are as well, move on to part three. I'll see you there in just a moment.
Who's cutting my clap? Where's Larry Crown?
Maybe you got the flu.